So glad to see you here today and looking forward to learning, allowing God and His Word to speak into our lives today. And I hope you're just blessed by this. I don't know where you find yourself coming off the holidays and coming off the busyness of that. Personally, we had a wonderful time, but also had some, you know, it's just busyness and it can be a challenge at time. I hit a little sickness last week. That was uncalled for. And so just going through life that way. But it can be at times finding it myself personally maybe a little bit challenging. I'm in the mid upper 40s and there's been a lot of new thoughts and feelings and concerns I'm having about life and about future and all that. But someone just told me in the foyer today that the 50s is great. So I'm not, don't get your ideas. I'm not there yet, but I don't know where you find yourself. I was searching Instagram and people were posting, you know, 2019 stuff or whatever. One of my friends was posting some favorite songs. And I thought this song, I'm going to play first 50 seconds of a song. I thought it connects to the message of the morning. And maybe you find yourself here. Maybe you're not there right now. I'm not saying I'm entirely there right now either, you know, with all these topics. But I think it connects to the series. It connects to this idea of, do we really matter? All right. All right. Listen to these words. If you can, might be a little quick, but you can follow along. All right. I don't know how you connect, if you connected with any of that or not, but the idea that I just want to be wanted. It was One Republic. The song's called Wanted. And even this phrase here sort of caught my attention. You know, I just want to be wanted. I just want to be loved. I just want to be more than a drop in the sea. You think of one drop in the whole sea or the whole ocean. You know, it's just huge. It's an incredible expanse. You know, I just want to be one, more than just that one drop. I want to mean something. I want my life to mean something. Maybe you just want more. I don't know where you find yourself today, but our hope is that through this series, the next 3 weeks, this week and two more weeks, that, you know, we just really pray and hope that each one of us realize you do matter. You really, truly do matter. In the eyes, maybe, you know, and sometimes that's blurred and that's just confusing in the eyes of people around us sometimes, but in the eyes of God, you truly do. There's one thing you capture through the series. I'm hoping you capture that you're created in the image of God, and we're going to dive into that a bunch today. And that's what makes a difference. So, Lord, let's pray together. Lord God, I just pray for each of our hearts, for each of our minds, God, that we might just experience a sense of maybe of healing here this morning, just as we think about this personally, as we consider our own worth, as we consider how we view ourselves, God. I pray that maybe just refreshment in our lives, depending where we find ourselves today, God, that your Spirit might just refresh us. You have a way of doing that no one else or nothing else can do. And so we pray for that refreshment in our lives today, God. I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you come to speak courage or encouragement into our lives. So we need your courage today. We need your confidence that only comes from you, God, that confident expectation that there's something better, there's something more. So, Lord, we need that today in our lives. We need what only you can give. So just as we reflect on your word, as we reflect on you, just speak to us. Impact each person here. You have them here for a reason. You have me here for a reason. Lord, you say we matter, and we'd love to know that in a new and a healthy way this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be looking at a few different things, three main points, but the first thing is this. We're going to start in the book of Genesis, the idea that you matter because your creation was planned by God. All right, if you go way back to the beginning, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." This idea, let us, this idea is God is, the act of creating man was based on the deliberate counsel, the full counsel of God, the triune God. All right, let us make mankind. He was looking at all of creation at that point, and he was saying, you know what, something's missing. It actually uses the word, it's good, all the other days. Something's missing. What's missing is the creation of humanity. All right? It was incomplete. Creation was incomplete without man. And it's beautiful. When you get to the end of the chapter, what's he say? After creating man, he not only says it's good, he says it's very good now. All right? It's not only good, it's great. Yeah. Like something has changed. And yes, something has changed. He put a lot of thought. He put planning. He put forethought into the creation of man. I think we understand this concept on a human level pretty easily. I think when you, for us as a staff and as a church here, we just came out of like the Christmas season. And we just had an awesome time doing our Christmas services. I think this is a picture from one of the nights, the Christmas Eve nights. And served almost 1,000 people that came through. It was really cool. It's just such a good time together. And I loved the spirit of it all and just the teamwork. And you know, we put a lot of forethought, a lot of planning, went into all those different services, all those different pieces of it. I see Joshy J in the front here. I absolutely loved that rap. I mean, when that first came into our planning, it was like, hey, this is an idea. Do you think we should try it? You know, I'm pretty hesitant, you know? But wasn't that awesome how that came together and how you just speak the glory of God in all different forms? I loved it, Josh. And everyone that helped, let's give this guy a round of applause and all these guys. I just thought that was so cool. So for us as a staff, like a lot of forethought, a lot of planning. And then we looked back and we're like, wow, that was awesome. Go God. That was so cool. The children's wing down there. A lot of forethought, a lot of planning. You're seeing a lot of color, right? Carpet. It's like, cool. It's really come together neat. You know, I imagine you can think of that in your own life. There's something that you can think of lately that you put a lot of forethought in, a lot of planning. And then at some point you were able to step back and say, that's awesome. Cool. Go God. I think that's where God finds himself at the end of chapter 1. When he looks at humanity, he's like, wow, that's awesome. It's very good. Your creation was planned. Not only was your creation planned, your creation was a direct, and it was special, and it was immediate. It was direct, special, and immediate. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You see this word created. He uses it 3 times right there, emphasizing it. In the Old Testament, that Hebrew word for create is only used of divine activity, never human activity, only divine activity. And what does he do? What does he do? He creates male and female. They both bear the image of God. They both are of extreme value. Simply because. Okay? Now we're going to unpack that more as we go on, but obviously this is a hot button topic in our culture. There's a lot of thinking around this idea of creation and about gender in particular. And yet when I look at the scriptures, I think God seems pretty clear about what he creates. And I try to open my heart up as much as I can to any level of conversation with anyone that might be feeling or thinking something different. But God loves each one of his creation. And he says that there was a direct creation. There was a special creation right from the beginning. We see that a little bit more in chapter 2. We get a little more clarity on this. God says this, then God, the Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Okay? Very special, very unique creation. Something that only God could do. Look at the next verse here. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. He took something of much higher quality. You know, if you use dirt for the guy, use the rib for the woman. So the starting point was a much higher level. It's clear even today. You know. But it's really interesting when you look at Eve in particular. Sometimes with Adam, you get into a lot of conversations around evolution and how we came to be. And it might be easier to question when you look at him, but when you look at her, the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of a man, and he brought her to the man. It was immediate. There was no hesitation. He literally, if you read the text, he put the first anesthesia, put the man to sleep, takes the rib, all right, forms the woman, presents the woman. Like it happened. It was incredibly special, and it took place right then and there. See, our creation was direct. It was special. It was immediate. This idea of formed with Adam, when he says the Lord God formed, you know, that verb is commonly used for the work of a potter. It's literally like forming and molding and creating and just fashioning. And we see that same type of language when we look in the Psalms. Psalm 139 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Isn't that beautiful? See, like a potter at a wheel forming a cup or a bowl in the womb, the Lord forms and fashions each one of us. It's a beautiful picture of his love and of his value and how each one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. My wife may be aware of there was a Triple C family that she knows online, and the mom posted that their child recently, their young child recently said that their baby child was fearfully and wonderfully made. It was just so cool, so touching that this is something a young child can understand as she looks at her new baby child, new baby sister. It's like, wow, fearfully and wonderfully made. It's the consistent testimony of Scripture. You look at Isaiah, you look at Jeremiah, they constantly talk about how we are formed, we are fashioned by God. His hands are at work in each one of our lives. Paul says it this way, we are God's, what's he say, handiwork. We are literally, that he's literally saying we're a work of art, each and every one of us. When I think of art, I recently got this piece of art for out at the park. And you might have been aware of it from early at the grand opening. We had this there. But one of the art teachers, a longtime art teacher in the school district here, Amy Migliori. I always get her name wrong. I'm sorry. Amy Migliori. Yeah. She has served in the district for a long time as the art teacher. But she hand-painted this for us. We met her. She was doing something called skate art, and she takes boards like this and she paints part of her story on different boards. She has about 16 or 18 boards, and now she's the graphic design or graphic arts teacher over there in the school, I believe. But she's been a part of what we're doing out there, and she hand painted this for us for our grand opening. It includes different aspects from the skate park in town here. You know, obviously different bikes, skate parts, all different names on here are different supporters that got us to this point. It's really cool. We got it in the building over there and just love showing it to people. But it's like one of a kind. It is one of a kind. You know, it's something that only she did. And it obviously has a lot of value and a lot of meaning to us, but to her for sure as the creator. But, you know, that's the same way that God views you. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. You literally are his work of art. You literally are his handiwork. You literally are one of a kind. It's a beautiful thing. And then the last thing, as you try to unpack this idea that we share in divine qualities or even divine purpose. Back to verses 26 and 27 again. It says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." We're going to try to unpack that a little bit more. So that. Why? So that. See, there's purpose. You have purpose for existing. Purpose beyond anything you dream of. You actually have God purpose for existing. Right from the beginning, he gave all mankind purpose so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, birds of the sky. over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. See, it's pretty incredible that within the realm of a visible creation, God places a creature that's capable of acting as his agent, literally acting as his agent in relationship to everything else and all the other creatures. And he says, you're there to represent his kingship, to represent his authority, to represent and simply to praise your creator. Isn't that beautiful? When I was trying to unpack a little bit more what it means to be made in God's image and his likeness, those really are synonyms in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I came across this article from John Piper. And I think it does well to help to answer, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? What is I have a challenge saying this, the Imago Dei. All right, what is the Imago Dei? So we believe the image of God is not so much something that man has as something that man is. Humankind was created to be a graphic image of the Creator, a formal, visible, and understandable representation of who God is and what he's really like. Isn't that something? It says the Imago Dei is that in man which constitutes him as him whom God loves. Like that peace in you is him. And he loves you. Did sin remove the image of God? No, man's fall into sin didn't destroy or remove the image of God. It disfigured it. And I think we experience that. We understand that. It says here, in every aspect of life, some parts of that image have been distorted or lost. And see, that really explains why so often in life we find ourselves struggling with our own perception of who we are, struggling to accept the idea that we could possibly matter, struggling with our own self-worth. That's so often why we see people around us, that we don't treat each other. Maybe we don't treat someone else, or someone else doesn't treat us in a way that honors the fact that we're created in God's image. It says the practical side of having God's image, knowing that we are made in God's image, affects not only our understanding of our Creator and our relationship with him, it also sets the stage for understanding and defending the sanctity of all human life. Okay, this is getting very practical. It says every single human being, no matter how much the image of God is marred by sin or by illness or by weaknesses, or by age, or by disease, or disability, every single human being still has the status of being in God's image, and therefore must be treated with the dignity and respect that is due to God's image bearer. Isn't that something? See, this has profound implications for our conduct towards others. It means that people of every race deserve equal dignity and rights. It means that elderly people and children yet unborn deserve full protection and honor as human beings. Isn't that something? Can you hear this idea that every human is created in the dignity and in the image and in the likeness of the very God of the universe? It's mind-blowing. It really is something. You matter. You matter. Humans literally are the climax of God's creative glory. They literally are like his handiwork. If we could have been there, if you could imagine yourself a part of creation, seeing these things coming to existence, and he's like, this is good, this is good. I'm liking this. It's coming together great. This is good. Something's missing. What's missing? Oh, yeah. I have this idea for these people. They're going to be like me. And he forms and fashions. And all right, need another one. really good. The climax of God's creative handiwork. It's you. It's me. It's every single one that we see around us. It's a beautiful thing. It speaks incredible value. Hopefully it speaks hope and joy. Again, at Christmas, you often have time with family, or maybe you might be asked what's the most important thing for you. Our family is similar. I get together with Karen and our family on Christmas Day, but then I'm happy to have my parents here with us this morning. And we get together as my broader family out in Lancaster, my brothers. I probably told you that before. But it's always a good time. There's a big crowd out there. I lose track. It's in the 30s or maybe the 40s now. Children, grandchildren, my nieces and nephews. I'm the youngest of 8. So it's a lot of time. All right, great-grandchildren too. All right. So in the course of that time, what inevitably happens is we all get together for some songs and things like that, and then my mom and dad will go up there and they get to talk. And my dad gets in front of all that crowd there and he's loving it. He gets all excited and he has to like shut us all down. He says, "Hey, do you guys realize that all of you, I gotta just say this," he says, "all of you came from your mother and I." And suddenly the room gets very awkward. And so I, being the youngest and the smart aleck, what do? I put my hand up. I was like, "I don't quite understand. Can you explain that a little bit more? How did that happen?" You know what I mean? And we have a good laugh about it and a good time. But family, there's something about family that's special, isn't it? One of my favorite pictures, not our full family, but one of our favorite pictures from this season for our family. Just something about family, about people, about humanity. And they're laughing at me right now, my family. No, not really. But I want to read Psalm 8. And I want to let these words just filter over you as you think about value and the fact that you matter. Psalm 8, David says this: "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him?" He's saying, what's the deal? Do we matter? Yes. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor. Do you hear that today? You, as humanity, you are crowned with glory and honor from your Creator, from God. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet: all flocks, all herds, all the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, and all the fish of the sea, and all that swim in the paths of the sea. So you have incredible value. When God looks at you, he says, "You're very good. You're very good." There's one thing we'd love for you to hear today, is that you matter. You matter deeply to God. You matter to us as a church body. Hopefully you matter to people around you, and you feel that and you experience that. But most importantly of all, you matter so much to God. You matter deeply to him. And yet, if that's true, it's sort of a question I've been sort of wrestling with, and I think we'll keep trying to unpack through this series a little bit. If that's true, why is it so hard to believe? Why is it so hard to see, whether that's in ourselves or whether it's in others around us? And I don't know. There's many reasons for that, I think. Like I said, we'll keep talking about it, but I think some of us maybe we're born with this idea that we just have a real low self-esteem or real struggling to, or deep insecurities of some sense. Maybe some kind of trauma that we experience has defined us. We haven't been able to get past it. And we continue to hold on to the guilt of that, or the challenges of that. Next week, as we interact with Jen Zook, she's a professional counselor, and we'll be talking about that some. in the context of human trafficking, in the context of you know, how does our trauma and our past, does it impact our perception of ourselves, our perception of those around us and their value? But you matter. You matter simply because you're created in His image. And some of us, I was thinking this morning as we're trying to wrap this up here, some of us need to maybe think through, how do we look at others? How do we see the people around us? I'm actually going to invite Maya and Mason up here. Where are they at? They here? Yeah, they're going to come on up and share a little Christmas story of their family. And I thought it connected well as we think about the series and think about the value of all people. And they had a really cool family experience where they got to see a group of people that maybe some of us don't always see right away, you know, as we walk through life and as we go through life. I think, are you starting it off, Mason?
Sure.
All right. Let's do it. Thanks for coming up here. Let's give these guys a round of applause for coming up here. Yes.
Once a year, every year, during Christmas season, we go down to Philly just for a fun family day trip. And, it's great to spend, like, time as a family together, but we need to, like, notice, oh, man.
Tell us about the bags and about what you're taking down there. Yeah.
So we try to remember that people there, like, especially homeless people on the street, sometimes just aren't noticed. I mean, they're still God's children as they can have much less fortune as we have. Mm-hmm. And so we always take what we call blessing bags down. They have, I think, 3 hand warmers, a couple socks, some gloves, and we just choose some people that look especially needy, and we just sit with them, we pray. We actually give them, there's a Bible verse that we just started adding this year, and we just let them know that they're cared for, they're human too, they're God's children, and it's just amazing just to see, like, nobody else really acknowledges them. Thousands of people pass them every day, and nobody makes eye contact, and they're just kind of thought as nothing more but part of the street.
Hi. So Mason and I are super blessed to have very generous, compassionate parents. They taught us from a young age that, you know, everybody matters, no matter your situation, no matter your circumstances. And a lot of times, like Mason said, homeless people are completely ignored. They're a group of invisible people. And, you know, or they're seen with a stigma, oh, they're all drug addicts, they're all bad people. Someone once told me, I'll never forget this, because anytime anyone asks, like, oh, why would you give money to them, or why would you give stuff to them? What if they sell it for drugs, or they use the money for drugs? You know, if you give $1 to 10 different people, and only one of them uses it for food or shelter to help, then, you know, I helped. And also, like, not just the financial side of it, but the connection, the human side of it. When we were down in Philly, I met a girl named Sarah. She was homeless. She caught my eye right away because she looked so young. She was by herself. She was only wearing a sweatshirt in the cold. And she just looked so fragile and alone and defeated. Like, you see this defeated look on all their faces because, you know, people pass them by and don't even acknowledge them as human. So I went up to her and I sat down next to her and I was like, oh, we have some, we call blessing bags. So it has some socks and some hand warmers and, you know, gloves, just some stuff to keep you warm right now. And she was like, thank you. And she seemed a little shocked that I would sit down and start talking to her as a person. And I was like, how old are you? Because you look pretty young. She's like, I'm 19. And, like, that really just hit me because I'm 18. I can't even imagine being alone, like, it really opened my eyes, because I'm so blessed to have what I have and the family that I have. And it was so heartbreaking to see her all by herself. So I sat and I prayed with her, and we both were crying, and just, like, I just had my arm around her, and it was the most genuine connection with another stranger. And it just, I wanted her to know that she mattered, like, that she is a child of God, that she is loved, and that she is cared for and cherished, and she's valuable. And I just hope that we all can, like, spread just a little bit of love and compassion to other people, especially, you know, those that are oppressed and invisible.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for sharing. That is so awesome. So neat. They saw that. And that's what this message is about. Like, you matter. God sees you. He sees you right where you're at. No matter how you feel about yourself right now, no matter what you're thinking about yourself right now, maybe the people around you and the struggles of interacting and whatnot. No, he says, I love you. He says, you're created in my image. You're created in my likeness. And as we think about communion, you know, he saw us in our times of deepest need. He sees us when we think the worst of ourselves, or we think like we have nothing to bring. And he looks even before all of that. And he looks all the way back from the beginning and he says, no, no, no. You're worth it. You matter to me. I, like, care deeply for you. Like, if you were the only person on this planet, I would die for you. So we're going to remember that. We're going to take a moment and celebrate that. And just remember that what Jesus did for us. And hopefully as we go about these next few weeks, we'll continue to unpack this idea that each person has value simply because you are. You're one of his.